Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, Life Change Church. We are glad that you are here this morning. If you are a first-time guest, please make sure to fill out the Connect card in the seat back in front of you. Drop it in the offering a little later in the service. Stop by the Connect desk on the way out and pick up your free gift as well. This morning, we are wrapping up our series, Family Matters. And when I look at the last picture of my family, even sometimes I'm overwhelmed that all of those are our actual kids. We didn't borrow any for that picture. They belong to us. And in fact, in July, there's going to be another one added to that picture because we're expecting grandbaby number two. And so, yep, we're excited about that. And so the purpose of this series is to help families understand that, number one, you're not alone. All families struggle. And number two, to give you the tools of how to deal with your struggles. Because the reality is this, church. If your family matters, then you have to learn how to deal with your family matters. Right? If your family matters, you have to deal with your family matters. And although most people like to pretend that their relationship is okay or that their marriage is okay or that being single is okay, the reality is oftentimes it's not okay. In fact, the reality is normally there's a good bit of dysfunction that we have to work through and that we have to deal with. And so the past month, we've helped address these issues as well as challenged you to address them. And so in week one, we started talking about affection and discipline. And then in week two, we talked about guardrails and boundaries. Last week, Pastor Corbin talked about being happy versus unhappy and satisfaction. And then this morning, we're going to conclude our series talking about pretenses and how to lay them down. And we'll define that a little more in just a bit. But who remembers when you're a kid, right? We play make-believe a lot when we're kids, right? We like to pretend that we're something other than what we really are, right? So think of some common games that kids like to pretend, right? You pretend to be dad, or you pretend to be mom, policeman, fireman, teacher, you know, whatever. Go right down the list. I have a sister that's 2 years younger than me. She's one of my best friends in life. And when we were kids, we watched a lot of wrestling, right? It was back when it was still called the WWF, right? And so we just watched a lot of wrestling. And you know what? One of my favorite guys was Jimmy Superfly Snuka, man. I love that dude. And so one of our pretend games is I was Jimmy Superfly Snuka. And for whatever reason in my sister's brain, she trusted me enough that she would lay on the floor and I would climb to the top of the back of the couch and I would superfly off of the couch, right? And boom, headbutt her as we get to the floor. Now, how neither one of us never got hurt or again, why she laid there and let me actually do that to her, I really don't know the answer to that, right? Right? One of us could have gotten hurt. But you know what, church? We laugh at that. But it's not just kids that play make-believe, right? It's not just kids that play pretend. Adults do it too. We don't pretend necessarily to be a fireman or a policeman, but we pretend to be okay even when we're not. And the truth is, in the same capacity that one or both of us could have gotten really hurt doing that, that people can get hurt when we pretend as adults. And one of the most common games that we play that we pretend is that everything is fine, that everything is okay. We do it in our families. We do it with our friends. We do it in our church. Things could really be coming apart at the seam, but we pretend that they're okay. Just last week, Pastor Corbin shared a little bit of transparency in his marriage And he talked about some things that him and Sarah had been struggling with. Well, today is my turn, right? And so Kelly, there she is, wave, babe, right? And so this has been a pretty common pattern. Now, before I say that, let me preface this. It did not happen yesterday. So you guys, for those of you who know us, you saw our pictures of our date day yesterday. But up until last night, the last several times I've preached, we've gotten in a huge fight on Saturday night. Like, I'm talking huge fight, like 4.5 star fight, right? Just last week, I guest preached in St. Louisville, Saturday night, humongous fight. Like, we weren't even talking to each other when we went to bed, big fight, right? And now we got to get up and go to a church neither one of us have ever been to, be like, hi, we're here to guest preach in the name of Jesus, even though right now I don't even want to see you, right? I'm like, this is the reality of our family. And the truth is, it's also the reality of your family, right? And so the problem is this. If we're not careful and we find ourselves pretending that everything is okay, then outside of our home, then we also pretend it's okay inside of our home. And we stop talking to each other, and we stop trying to make things better, and we don't address things that need to be addressed. And the only way that our relationships in our home, our marriage, our parenting, our singleness, for those of you who are single, the only way that it can get better is if we address those things. The only way it can heal is through honesty. And that's the big idea for today, is that healthy homes require honesty, right? A healthy home requires honesty. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And if you don't have your Bible, or even if you do, we still encourage you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's a fantastic app, lets you take the Bible with you wherever you go. It has great reading plans, including some daily devotionals. So go ahead and download that if you have not. This morning's scripture comes from 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 through 7, and it says this. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arm. Excuse me. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to a rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come in. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man, and he prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man, and he said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing, and he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. And he didn't mean it like that way. He didn't mean you are the man. He meant, hey, you're that man. You're the man who did that. See, David slept with Bathsheba and he covered it up. And when his cover-up failed, he eventually had Uriah killed. Now Nathan is confronting him with what he did, right? And so the number one problem that set this whole situation up for David was he was full of pretenses. David's family was full of pretenses. And pretense is simply this. It's pretending or making something that is not true appear to be true. Right? It's pretending to make something that is not true appear to be true. It's a false display of feelings, attitudes, or intention. So David knew what he did was not okay, but he pretended everything was fine. And when his plan failed, he abused his authority and he had Uriah killed. When we just pretend and we don't take ownership of our problems end up owning us. right? I'm going to say that again. When we don't take ownership of our problems end up owning us. Healthy homes require honesty, church. We already mentioned that. But let's talk about why we don't. Why are we not honest with the people that we love the most, right? We know that there's problems, but we pretend our marriage is okay. We pretend our finances are okay. We pretend our jobs are okay. But the reality is, it's not okay. And really, even if it was okay, is that the type of existence that you want to live? Do you really want to live just okay? See, it's way better to admit that you're not okay, as long as you're committed to not staying there, than it is to just pretend you're okay, right? Our Saturday morning men's group that has been meeting, we've really been pushing each other recently, like, hey, just okay is really not okay, right? That's not the life that God had called us to live. I mean, think about this for what it's worth, right? Jesus came down and died a death he didn't deserve for you to live okay, right? No, church. Jesus died so that we could live lives full of love and mercy and grace and victory in Christ Jesus and have all of those things abundantly. Well, as long as we just continue to pretend, oh, it's okay, then we're not going to be able to partake in those things. I've seen it as a pastor. I've done it as a pastor, right? You're passing somebody, hey, man, how's it going? And even if it's somebody that you're really close with, oh, I'm good, right? Really, you're coming off maybe the worst day of your life. Oh, I'm good, right? Church, we have to learn to quit pretending. Because as long as we continue to pretend that we cannot address the things that need addressing. But why do we do it, right? Why do we pretend? The reality is, I believe that it's fear-based, right? We're afraid of being authentic. We're afraid of getting real with people. Well, it should be safe to get real with the people you love, don't you think? I mean, that should be safe, but we're afraid of being judged. We're afraid of coming up short. We're afraid of truly opening ourselves, because when we truly open ourselves, then we become vulnerable, right? And who likes to be vulnerable, right? That's a scary word, but the reality is that is required in order to have an intimate relationship. Sometimes we don't become transparent, because we're afraid of a consequence, right? I mean, in this case, David was the king, and so probably not going to be too many consequences, even if he admitted to what he did. But there are times in our lives that we do things that they do come with a consequence when we take responsibility for them. Excuse me, my allergies. But that cannot stop us from taking responsibility for the things we need to take responsibility for. And so what if this? What if instead of being afraid to be honest, what if instead of being afraid to be transparent, what if we actually laid our pretenses down? What if we quit pretending to be okay when we're not okay? What could God do in our lives? How could he use us more effectively? And even more so, how could he heal the brokenness in our relationships, right? And so the first thing that we have to be willing to do in order to lay down our pretenses is we have to be willing to confront the situation, right? So action step number one is we have to be willing to confront the situation. Nathan confronted David in his sin, right? He confronted him. He didn't let David slip by. This is the king, and he still confronts the king with his sin. And so when you're having struggles in your family, we have to be willing to confront them. I want you to think for a moment in your life of your own personal struggles. What has ever happened that you've encountered that's gotten better from not confronting it, right? The answer is nothing, right? Nothing gets better until we're willing to confront it, right? So I have a hernia right now. I have to have surgery. I've been putting it off because I really don't want surgery. But the only way to fix it is to have the surgery. And Kelly, every day for a week, did you call the surgeon? Oh, I was a little busy. Like, you know, babe, did you call the surgeon? Work got away from me. Did you call the surgeon? Oh, when I had time, the office was already closed. Call the surgeon, right? Because the only way that it's going to get better is if I have the surgery. And so surgery is scheduled for August 6th. And here's the reality. You know, untreated, in extreme cases, you can die, right, from a hernia, right? Well, listen, it's no different in our situations in our family, right? And if left untreated, certain situations can lead to familial death, right? Even if you stay together, there's still a separation that happens. We have to be willing to confront our situation if they're going to get better. And that requires honesty. But there's something else it requires. And this is on the receiver. This is on the end of the person being confronted. So the one doing the confronting has to be honest. But the one being confronted, you have to be safe, right? You have to be safe to confront. And so if we were to take a poll today and say, hey, how many people in here are safe to confront? You know, of course, I would hope that we would all raise our hand. You know, if it's your wife, your husband, your kids, your best friend, somebody that you have an intimate relationship with, hey, is it safe for that person to confront you? I would hope the answer would be yes. But the reality is, it's not yes for everybody in this room. And there's definitely been times in my own life it hasn't been yes for me, right? And so how do you know if you're safe? Here's a good way to tell. Think about the last time somebody that you care deeply for approached you to speak about something in your life that might need addressing. You know, maybe it was your temperament. Maybe it was a habit. Maybe it just was something that needed a little bit of tweaking. How did you respond to that person? How did you receive what they said? Did you take action to address the situation, right? Those are all indicators of whether you are safe to confront or whether you're not. Nathan knew that David could have had him killed. I mean, he just was getting ready to confront him about killing Uriah, right? So Nathan knew David could have had him killed, but he also used wisdom in the way he told David, and he knew because of his relationship with David that he could confront him. And so, church, we're going to have to be willing to confront the situation. If the situation is going to change, it requires safety and it requires honesty, because a healthy home requires honesty. Step number two, you have to be willing to confess, right? You have to be willing to confess. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 writes, People who conceal their sin will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they'll receive mercy. So people who conceal their sin will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Church, confession is a great step towards freedom, and it is not exclusive to sin, right? It does. Confession is not a term that is exclusive just to sin. When it comes to our family, we need to confess our hurts and our pains and what caused them. We need to confess what we get wrong. See, all confession really is taking responsibility for your action. Excuse me. When we confess or take responsibility, it eliminates the potential to blame. Right? And so one of the biggest problems in dysfunctional families is blame, 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 blame. When we confess, we're taking responsibility, which eliminates the potential to blame, and confession requires honesty. If you're a parent, the only way your kid is ever going to learn to take responsibility is if you model it. And so twice in the past week, I had to model that to my kids, right? And so really, it was a pre-planned teaching moment. Now, I totally got it wrong with Braylon, man. Listen, being the coach of your son is one of the most frustrating, yet, if you have never been a dad coach, don't. Let me just help you there, right? It's one of the most enjoyably frustrating things you could possibly do. And so, man, Braylon was just driving me nuts, and I finally snapped at him during our game. And then Kel was like, babe, you're probably a little over the top. I'm not, no, I wasn't. He did not. And then, no, I was probably a little over the top, right? So then on the car ride home, like, Bray, man, sorry, dude. Snapped a little bit. Was probably a little too aggressive, right? So he needs to see dad take responsibility when dad is wrong. I told you, we fight before I preach, right? So last Saturday night, Kelly, Kayla, Alexi, and I all go to dinner. I said something super snappy. Super disrespectful to Kelly, ruined dinner. In fact, we didn't even eat. We got up and left the restaurant, if I'm being completely honest. It was before the food was ordered, so don't think that, right? Right? And so, but it was bad, man. And it was like that. It just came out of my mouth. Boom. Like, there was no chance to take it back. There wasn't even any forethought. It was just like, and it was out there. It was really disrespectful. So, whatever, man, I had to apologize to Kelly, and I apologized to my daughters because I disrespected their mother in front of them, right? And I teach my daughters all the time of what to look for in a man, and then boom, here I'm disrespecting their mom, right? And so you have to be willing to take responsibility in front of your kids if you want responsible kids. So confession is taking responsibility, and that requires honesty. So what do you need to confess in your family? Be honest about it. And then finally, it requires change. It requires change. When you continue to read the story, David's attitude changed, right? So Nathan, he confronts him. He addresses the situation. David's initial response was one of judgment, right? Which is why we don't always want to confess. And then when Nathan tells David, wait a second, you are the guy, David has a little bit of a paradigm shift, right? His first response is, kill that guy, right? He needs to pay four times as much. And then when he realizes it was him, like total change. And if you read through the rest of the story, Nathan goes on to tell him that, hey, as a consequence of your sin, your house is always going to be divided. You brought discord into your kingdom, and therefore your house is always going to have discord. And furthermore, the baby's going to die. Because of you, David, the baby's going to die. Right? And so for a week, David goes into mourning, and he goes into fasting, and he puts on sackcloth, and he's grieving, and he's beseeching God to have mercy on his son's life. Baby died. And when David got word that the baby died, it says he immediately rose, he went and he cleansed himself, and he put on his kingly garments, and he went back to being the king, right? There was a total shift of what happened in David, and it had to happen in order for him to effectively rule his kingdom. Well, it's the same, church. It doesn't do us any good if we let people confront us. It doesn't do us any good if we then confess the action if we don't change. And so I want you to think about something in your life that has been a repetitive cycle. You know, what is a continual source of frustration for you? What's a continual place that you and your spouse or your child continue to hit heads over and to fight over and continue to maybe model unhealthy behaviors? Listen to what 2 Chronicles says. This is 7:14 of 2 Chronicles. My people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Right? But that's a three-step process, church. It's a confronting, it's a confessing, and it's a changing. And so we want the promises and the blessings of God, and we want healthy homes? Are we willing to put all three of those steps into place? For a lot of us, I think we just stop at the end of the second one, right? Because change can be scary. It can be scary. But if you want a healthy home, then you have to be willing to change the things that are unhealthy. And it has to start with you, right? Like, we're, again, taking responsibility eliminates the potential to blame. And so make believe as a kid can be fun. But as an adult, there really isn't any value. And just like my sister could have gotten hurt, as adults, when we pretend that things are okay, we just continue to perpetuate the hurt. And so if you want to change that, if you want to shift that in your home, then you have to be willing to confront, which again requires honesty, and it also requires safety. You have to be willing to confess, and you have to be willing to change. And so as we close this morning, I want you to pull out your response card from the seat back in front of you, and I want you to fill it out. Maybe you don't know Jesus at all. Maybe you haven't accepted him as your Savior. There's a spot on that box that you can mark that I'm going to take responsibility for my spiritual life, and I'm going to allow you to confront my sin, and I'm going to confess it, and I'm going to change so that I can live in eternity with Jesus Christ. And then the next step is maybe you already have a relationship with God, but there's an area in your life that has continued to haunt you because you haven't addressed it, because you're afraid to address it, maybe because you're afraid of the judgment of if you address it. But church, today is the day. So as the worship band plays, take a moment to pray, and then I'll be up with next steps in just a moment.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangedchurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.